Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com.
From KQED.
I'm Erica Cruz Guevara, and you're listening to The Bay, local news to keep you rooted. California's eviction moratorium expires tomorrow, and that means that for the first time in over a year, landlords can legally evict tenants for not paying rent. But throughout the pandemic, many immigrant tenants in the Bay Area have been getting evicted anyway, even if they're covered by state and local protections.
What the stories of immigrants who have been displaced during the pandemic, what they really show is that housing is also an immigration story.
Today, the immigrants who've been evicted during California's eviction moratorium.
Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
For most of the year, really, I've heard a lot of people warning of the eviction crisis on the horizon. And from my vantage point, hearing stories of Latino and Mayan immigrants in the Bay Area throughout the past year, the eviction crisis is clearly already here.
Madeline Baer is the founding director of El Tímpano.
So El Tímpano is a local news and civic engagement organization serving Latino and Mayan immigrants in the Bay Area. And while we provide local news and information, our audience also responds with their questions and stories. And since the start of the pandemic, the most common question that we've received from our audience is, where can I find help to pay my bills? We've also heard numerous versions of, do you know how I can find affordable housing or where I can find affordable housing? Or my landlord has threatened to evict me, what should I do?
Hola, Virbes.
Virbes is a father who immigrated from Guatemala with two daughters who are now 11 and 15 about 2.5 years ago. Back home, he has a wife and four other children.
Oh, hay dos niños, dos niñas todavía.
He's in the process of applying for asylum, and he works at a car wash in Pleasanton.
La pandemia nos fue un poco mal, pero no hubo ayuda, no. Y el trabajo donde estoy, como es un trabajo, no es muy importante, pues. Y entonces, por eso básicamente fue cerrado.
He left Guatemala fleeing organized crime that had taken over his town and was threatening him and his family with violence. So we're just using his first name to protect him. Since he immigrated, he had been living with in-laws that he had in Oakland, living in an apartment in Fruitvale that was shared by two other families, which included seven other kids and a couple.
Mi cuñada, dos cuñados con su familia. Uno tiene como tres niños, el otro tiene cuatro, pero en un cuarto nomás están ellos, pues.
Virbes and his daughters were living in the living room, and it was not comfortable, but they generally didn't have problems and had a good deal on rent. They were paying about $500 plus utilities.
So tell me the story about how he ended up getting evicted from that living situation.
So suddenly, about 4 months ago, his landlord told his in-laws that it was illegal for him to live in the living room.
Que tiene que salir inmediato porque si no le va a caer la ley y que iban a mí me iban a mandar en la cárcel solo por vivir en la sala y a mis niñas que lo iban a mandar para el gobierno o no sé, así me dijo. Entonces, no.
And that he could get sent to jail and that his daughters would be taken away from him and placed in an orphanage if authorities found out that he was living there. This is not true. It is not illegal to live in a living room. But this is what he was told. And he really stressed out, as you can imagine. And he said, you know, can you give me more time? I can't afford to find a place immediately. Can you give me another month to move out? But they said, no, you have to move out by the end of the month, which was less than 2 weeks from then. And his daughters heard that threat and this conversation as well. So, you know, it was his stress and the stress of his 15 and 11-year-old daughters. Bitterbase had been sending money back home to his family, but because he lost income during the pandemic, his family in Guatemala wound up being displaced too. Part of the money that he sent to them went to pay a monthly extortion fee that was demanded by the local criminal gang.
Empezaron a ser así patrullero en la noche. Tienes que pagar 200 o 150 quetzales en la noche.
And because they couldn't pay it, they had to abandon their home. And so his wife and kids are now living across the border in the Mexican state of Chiapas, where they're now living as undocumented immigrants.
What is it about Bierbes's situation that made him particularly vulnerable to eviction?
You know, the eviction moratorium, and particularly the ones in place in Alameda County and Oakland, are quite strong in terms of offering tenant protection. But what we've seen from Bierbes and so many other stories that El Tímpano has heard from our audience is that protections on paper don't necessarily add up to protections in practice. And there are several factors that make Bierbes particularly vulnerable. One is that Bierbes is an immigrant and one without legal documentation here. Many immigrants are either unaware of their rights or assume that legal rights do not apply to them. And oftentimes landlords know this and take advantage of them by threatening them with an eviction and simply assuming, often correctly, that a threat alone will force the tenants out. Another factor is that, you know, not only is Bierbes undocumented in terms of his immigration status, but he's also undocumented in terms of his tenant status. Many immigrants working in minimum wage jobs, you know, because of the housing crisis in the Bay Area, they're only able to afford a situation like he was living in, renting a room or renting a living space, renting a shared studio, really in overcrowded conditions. And in a lot of these cases, they're never provided with an official lease or contract. And so again, because they're not on the official lease, they assume that tenant rights don't apply to them. The story of Bierbes is a story of unofficial eviction. And in the course of the past year, El Tímpano has heard from dozens of residents who have been displaced due to the financial crisis of the pandemic.
So after he was evicted from his in-laws' house, where did he go?
Bierbes told me that he went to numerous apartments looking for a new place, but was turned away as soon as he said that he had two daughters. Places told him that they would take him alone or they would take him with one daughter, but not with both.
Se miran muchos niños, entonces, ¿por qué a ellas no aceptan ninguna renta? Y si te vas a otras casas, niños jugando, muchos, tres, cuatro, cinco niños. No hay problema. Entonces, ¿y a mí por qué?
He finally found a place in East Oakland that accepted them. But once they moved in, the main tenant complained that his daughters made too much noise during the day. And he said, well, they're kids, they have to attend virtual schooling, so they're at home during the day, and they have to be active when they're doing that. You know, what do you expect me to do? But they kept complaining, and he said, you know, even if his daughters just tried watching a video on their phone at night, they would complain.
Y sin, y una vez, como las 10, 11, ella puso su, un video en su celular y me llamó el marido de la señora que hablara a ella que baja el volumen del celular, pero es un celular, no es un gran bocino, y es en el día todo.
So he said he felt like they were living in a prison. After 2 months, they left. They weren't able to get their security deposit back. And fortunately, one of his daughters told him that there was a room available in an apartment where her friend lived in the Allendale neighborhood of Oakland. And so they moved there in the summer. And when I talked to him there, he said he had high hopes that it would work out.
Based on what you said earlier, it seems like Birbes technically does have some protections against evictions and in Alameda County, but in practice, it hasn't really helped him or his family so far. Is he eligible for any financial assistance, whether it's from the state or at the local level?
Birbes is eligible for financial assistance. The problem is, you know, what we've seen in his case and from so many other people is that a lot of those programs simply aren't getting to those who need it. There are numerous programs out there offering rental assistance to low-income tenants who are affected by COVID. So that, you know, that is Birbes's situation. The most robust one is the federal rent relief, which is being administered by various state and local governments. But Birbes has not been able to access it. He says that, you know, he doesn't know what to do when he's sent a link to go to a website, to apply online. He's tried calling phone numbers that people have provided him, but he said he's just kind of taken through a labyrinth of a voicemail system and is unable to actually reach a person who can help him. So he's essentially given up.
Birbes's story is far from unique. Madeline has talked with lots of other Latino immigrants in the East Bay who have faced eviction this past year and who have faced a lot of barriers to getting rental assistance.
You know, earlier this summer, we were invited to a church service at St. Elizabeth's Church in Fruitvale, where I was invited to get up to the podium on a Sunday morning, right before Mass started, and introduce myself, introduce El Tímpano, and share, you know, a little bit about who we are and what we do. And my colleague Vanessa Nava joined me. So after service, people came up to us, and I recall that, you know, a gentleman came up to me and said, "Hey, you know, when is there going to be rent relief? Or I need rental assistance. Do you know how I can find that?" Again, that's the number one question that community members have asked us.
Hablé a una organización con respecto a si me pueden ayudar con renta, pero me dijeron, me dieron otro número de teléfono y llamé para ese otro número de teléfono y no me contestaron y quedó así. Sí.
There are, you know, numerous challenges that people have articulated to us. One, you know, such as in Birbes's case, is that for a lot of people, just the application itself is challenging. If you are not digitally savvy, if you don't have a home computer, if you're not used to filling out online forms, that, you know, that is the primary way that you're asked to apply. So that is one barrier. But there are many others. A lot of these programs ask for documentation, such as documentation from your employer, documentation from your landlord. And a lot of people have told us, like, either I don't have that documentation because, again, I'm not on an official lease, or, you know, my landlord or my employer doesn't want to participate in this. They're not helping me by providing the information that is asked.
In having these conversations, what do you think needs to happen in order for these tenants to get the help that they need?
What we've found from all of these stories that community members have shared with us is that when these systems and programs are designed for scale, which, you know, the federal rent relief program is designed for scale, it's designed to reach tens of thousands of people. But when it's designed for scale, it's not going to reach the people who need it most. I can say, you know, some of the experiences that community members have shared with us over the course of the pandemic, in which they have actually accessed financial assistance, is when it has come from community organizations. And so there have been, you know, several initiatives. You know, I know there was one run by Centro Legal de la Raza. There was financial assistance offered by Homies Empowerment, which is a grassroots organization based in East Oakland. And, you know, other assistance administered by Mujeres Unidas y Activas, which is a grassroots organization. And so while that assistance is, you know, very small in terms of the amount given, you know, it has provided relief, and it does show that, you know, it is organizations that are in the community, that know the communities, that are working directly with some of the most marginalized community members, that are able to get that sort of aid to community members who really need it.
All of this has been happening, even as we've had, as we've mentioned, the state and local eviction protections. What do you think this story shows about what will happen when the statewide moratorium does expire tomorrow?
Yeah, well, I mean, I do want to emphasize that there are still local tenant protections in place. And so, you know, residents, at least of Oakland and Alameda County, are protected by the local eviction moratoriums, which are still in place. But as I've shared, those protections have not been enough to protect many residents, and particularly immigrant residents. And one thing, if any, is that what we have seen in terms of the experiences that many of the immigrant tenants who have shared their stories with El Tímpano have faced is that this is really a precursor of what many more communities may experience when the eviction moratoriums expire. You know, I think what Birbes's story, what the stories of immigrants who have been displaced during the pandemic, what they really show is that housing is also an immigration story. We see people displaced because they are immigrants, because their immigration status has forced them into low-wage jobs, because their inability to access financial assistance has forced them into overcrowded housing. And because they are in overcrowded housing, they're more vulnerable to displacement and to abuse. And they're often, you know, afraid to fight back when threatened with a violation of their rights. And so I think it's a really important aspect of the housing crisis that we really need to understand better is how our country's immigration policies impact the housing crisis that our region is experiencing.
Madeline, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks to Madeline Baer, founding director of El Tímpano. We'll leave you a link to their website in our show notes. This episode was produced and cut by our editor, Alan Montesilio, and it was scored by Arati Bonimuri, who also added the tape. Special thanks as well to Carlos Cabrera Lomeli for the extra assist with the translations, and to Aaron Baldessari for recording some of the interviews you heard in this story. We also got help from Erica Kelly and Molly Solomon. The Bay is a production of your local public media station, KQED. Get in touch with us on Twitter, @TheBayKQED. I'm Erica Cruz Guevara. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.